Today we're starting a new sermon series, and actually this is the last of the group of sermon series where we've been going through the book of Acts. We started in the book of Acts at the beginning of this year, and we're going to finish it off with this particular sermon series. This sermon series is called Proclaim God's Mighty Works. And what we see from the very beginning of the book of Acts is that the church was born after Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead. And Jesus Christ told the people, go and be my witnesses from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Be my witnesses. Proclaim what Jesus Christ has done. And what we see throughout the book of Acts is that the church continues to grow and there's persecution and people get spread out all across the land. And even Paul goes to different parts of the known world at that time, sharing about Jesus Christ wherever he went. And finally, we come to a point at the end of the book of Acts where we see Paul, who is captured, and then he appears in front of different authorities and he has the opportunity to just proclaim his story, to proclaim who God is and what he's done. And so what we see at the end of the book of Acts is just multiple times where Paul is giving his speeches, where he's sharing with different people. And so that's what we're going to be looking at through this sermon series. And my hope is that as we look at this particular sermon series, as we look at the last part of the book of Acts, that we ourselves would be encouraged to, no matter what we face on earth, no matter what we face in our lives, that we will continue to proclaim what God is doing in our lives. And so, the title for today's sermon is Your Story. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 21. All right, so if you have one of these Bibles from outside, we're looking at page 931, 931. So I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 21. And we will have it on the screen, but if you do have your own Bibles, I would encourage you, take notes, highlight certain verses that stand out to you, so that when you do go back, it's not just a memory of what you've seen on the screen, but you have it in your Bible, in your phone, whatever you're using to look at. Acts chapter 22, verses 1 to 21. This is the reading of God's Word. This is Paul speaking here. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me. And standing by me, said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said to me, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Your story. Let me tell a little bit of my story. Growing up, my dad, he loved to play classical music. Anytime we got in the car, anytime we were at home, he would have classical music on. And I don't know why, but maybe because every time he turned it on in the car, I, as a little kid, would just fall asleep because my dad would drive us a long ways. His job was about an hour away, and sometimes he would take us for an hour to work and bring us back. On Sundays, we would always go to a church that took a bit of time. And so, every time I got into the car, he would play classical music, and I would fall asleep. To the point that when I listen to classical music today, I still feel sleepy. Now, when I think about classical music, no matter what genre of music you like, if you think about classical music, you probably think about a whole group of people with all their different instruments, and there's someone in the front doing something like this, right? Conducting the whole group. And this person, their job is to make sure that every person that's in the orchestra is doing their part. And they're doing it in a particular way that brings out the music in a way that maybe the conductor or maybe the original writer of the song had in mind. And so they tell this particular group here, I want you to be a little bit louder here, make it stronger, and now this part quiet down a little bit, but make sure you're staying on the beat the whole time. And each of you are playing a part in this great concert. Now, when we think about God, and we think about our stories, what we will find is that God is actually orchestrating everything that's going on in this world and even in your lives. And this is something that we can praise God about. And so the main idea for today is that we want to praise God for his orchestration of your story. Praise God for his orchestration of your story. The three points that we'll be going through today are, number one, God's orchestration in Paul's life. Number two, God's orchestration in your life. And number three, praise God for that. All right, so we're going to look at that. Let's talk about the first point here, God's orchestration in Paul's life. Last week we were at a wonderful retreat. It was really, really great. If you missed it, the sermon is also online. And so I encourage you guys to go and just join us for that little portion of the retreat. It was just a really, really wonderful time. I want to ask everyone that went to the retreat after the service, share with someone about your experience of the retreat. All right. 2 weeks ago, we heard about how Paul was using the fact that he was a Roman citizen to get out of a beating that he was about to get. And so some of you guys might remember that Paul was on this missionary journey. He traveled around Asia and Greece and the known Roman world at that time. He was making his rounds. And he came back to Jerusalem. There was a lot of prophecy that he was going to be bound up, and people were afraid for him. And he did come to Jerusalem. And what ended up happening in the previous passage in chapter 21 is that the Jews that came from other parts that he visited already came to Jerusalem, and they started stirring up the crowd saying, this guy Paul, he's talking about that you guys should all go against Moses and that all the Jews should go against God's law. And look, he even is bringing in these Gentiles into the temple area. And so all the crowd gets really upset. And then so they grab Paul and they're about to kill him. And then the Roman soldiers, they come and then they take Paul away because they don't want a riot to happen. And then, so this is where we come to the passage where Paul turns to the soldiers and says, "Is it all right if I speak to this crowd?" And so what we find in our passage today is where he begins his speech to the crowd. And I'll summarize it up like this. Paul basically tells his story to the people. You know, like he has this opportunity to tell about what Jesus Christ did, how he lived on this earth, how he died and rose again. But he doesn't start off with that. He actually starts off by just telling about his own testimony, about his own story. And so we're going to just quickly run through his story, what he talked about here. So what he first talks about, and I'm not going to show it on the screen here, so I encourage you to look at your Bibles now. He begins by speaking in Hebrew, and some of your Bibles may have a little footnote there that says that actually he might have been speaking in a dialect of Hebrew. Maybe it was Aramaic. Okay, but he speaks to the people in a language that they will understand, and it captures their attention. And what he tells them is that he himself is a Jew, and he studied, he was born in Tarsus, and he studied under Gamaliel, who's a well-known teacher of the time. If you look back in Acts chapter 5, you see this guy Gamaliel also appear, and he seems like a very wise teacher. And you can look back in chapter 5 to find out how he was part of the story at that time. But Paul says that he was his student and that he grew up in the strict manner of the law of the fathers, and he was zealous for God. And he says, as all of you are this day, as much as you are zealous for God's law and Moses, I was just like you. And so he shares about his background. And then he goes on to talk about his previous life. He talks about how he would go around persecuting the way. And the way was what we call Christians. The way was used back then. And then eventually the people were called Christians, as we found in the book of Acts. But this is what Paul says. Paul says, I was a persecutor. I went around grabbing these people, putting them in bondage, and then killing them, and I was approving of these things that were going on. I was passionate to get rid of this the way group because they were going against God's law. And so he was involved in these things, and even to the point where the leaders, he told the crowd, even your leaders know who I am. Your leaders gave me a letter to send to the people in Damascus to tell them about this way so that I can go and persecute these people. Ask your leaders. They know who I am. And so Paul tells his previous life about his story, and he's trying to make a connection with the people as well as he does that. And then he goes on to talk about his encounter with Jesus. And so on his way to Damascus, what ends up happening is that Jesus appears with a bright light. And then Jesus actually talks to Paul. And Paul, who is called Saul at that time, it says that Paul fell to the ground and he heard a voice. The light was so bright that Paul is blinded. He's not able to see. But he hears a voice. And the voice says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, let's pause here for a moment. It's pretty interesting because Paul just told all the people, and it was true, that he went around persecuting people. These people that were part of the way. But when Jesus talks to Paul, he says, or when he talks to Saul, he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting?" He doesn't say the people. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" It's really interesting because Jesus has already told the disciples in the past that whatever the people do to any one of my brethren, anyone, even the least of my people, whatever you do to them, you do to me. If it's good that you do to my people, then you do that to me. But if it's evil that you do to my people, you do that to me. Let's think about that for a moment. What that means is that whenever you sin against another brother or sister in Christ, whenever you judge another brother or sister in Christ, whenever you ignore another brother or sister in Christ, or you keep your distance from them and not build a relationship with them because you think they're a little bit strange, or just because you feel like you don't have enough time. Whenever you do that to that person, you're doing that to Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to Paul, to Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul responds by saying, who are you, Lord? Now this is really interesting. Paul believes in God. Saul believes in God. Saul believes he's following the true God, and he's living his life to his best ability to follow God. The word Lord here, it's hard to tell because the word Lord in Greek is just one word, kurios or kurios. But when you look in the original Hebrew, and oh man, I wish this was written in Hebrew, but it wasn't. But when you look in the word in the Hebrew, you actually have two words that could be translated Lord. One, it just means master, like when you call someone your master or someone that's in a higher position, Lord. But then the other word is actually God's holy name that God reveals to his people. And a lot of times the people would be so afraid and wanted to so respect this name that they never used the word Yahweh, but they replaced it and used the word Lord. Whenever they see the word Yahweh in the Bible, in the Old Testament, they always read it as Lord Adonai. Instead of reading it as Yahweh, they read it as Adonai. And so, Paul says, or Saul at that time, he says, who are you, Lord? Who he thought he was following so much. We don't know if he's saying master or Yahweh at this point, but he knows it's some incredible being that's talking to him now. And Jesus reveals himself and he says, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. The one that you are persecuting. The one you're persecuting the way. These people are my people. And it's very interesting that he doesn't say, I am Jesus, your God. He doesn't say that. But he says, I am Jesus of Nazareth. The very person, a human being who is God, who did claim to be God and is God. But at the same time, I want you to know, Saul, that it's this very same Jesus of Nazareth that people are believing is the Messiah. I am that person. I did rise from the dead. And I am here now, and I'm talking to you. You are persecuting me. So Paul goes on to say, what shall I do? And so Jesus tells him, go into Damascus, and you're going to meet someone that will tell you what you are appointed for. And so it's very interesting. He's on his way to Damascus, and he has a bit of ways to go. And so probably during that whole time, he's blinded, he's being led. It's almost like he's lost all of a sudden. He thought he knew what his life was all about, but he was actually lost. And now it was physically true that he was lost and he needed to be led by other people. He goes into Damascus and he meets Ananias. And when Paul is explaining this story to the Jews, he says, Ananias is a very good Jew and he's well respected by other people, by other Jews in that place. And he says it this way because he doesn't reveal that Ananias was actually a Christian also. But what he's trying to do this whole time as he's sharing with the crowd is he's trying to tell them his story in a way that perhaps, hopefully, that they would come to know who Jesus is themselves. So he goes. Ananias tells him that you were appointed so that you can hear and come to know the Lord, to actually have this experience, this incredible experience, and so that you can go and share with other people that what you have seen and heard. You were appointed for this. You were appointed so that you would have this incredible experience so that now you can go and tell other people that Jesus is alive. That Jesus did actually die for your sins. That Jesus did appear to you and that he is alive and well. And I want you to go and share this story to other people. And so that's what Paul is doing right now to the Jews as he's in chains, in bonds, and the Roman soldiers give him this opportunity to speak to the Jews. That's what he's doing, and he continues to do that. And Ananias, one of the last things that he says to Paul is this, "And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." You see, when Ananias met Paul, he first gave him his sight back. He opened his eyes. But that's almost like symbolic. Physically, he's healed. But then now, the eyes of his heart are being opened. And now Ananias calls to him and says, "Now that God has made known to you the truth about Jesus Christ, I want you to get up now, and I want you to be baptized." And it's almost like what Ananias is saying is, look, I want you to receive what Christ has given to you, and now I want you to live according to this new life that God has appointed for you. Go and be my witness. Wash away your sins, calling on his name. And so Paul is now commissioned, especially in the last part. He goes back to Jerusalem, and he has a vision. He goes into a trance, and he has a vision. And Jesus appears to him again and says, "I want you to leave this place because people will be against you." And it's kind of interesting what Paul says. Paul says, all these people, they know who I am. They know what I've done. And it's not to say these people are going to kill him because they know that he's done a wrong thing. Actually, what Paul is saying here is they know how zealous I was, just like them. I can make a connection with them. I can share the gospel with them. And so in his mind, he says he knows and he's able to connect with these people, and he might be a good candidate to stick around and share the gospel with these people. But Jesus tells him, no, I have different plans for you. I want you to go to the Gentiles because these people are gonna persecute you. And so I want you to go to the Gentiles. It's going to be different from what you originally thought, but I want you to go. And as soon as Paul mentions this about his story, the crowd gets really upset. And then the soldiers take him away. And then the soldiers call in the leaders and they say, what's going on here? And the soldiers want to beat him. And then this is where Paul says, well, actually, I'm a Roman soldier. I mean, I'm a Roman citizen. And that's how the story goes on. Okay. Now, Paul's telling his story. And what we find is that no matter what was going on in Paul's life, God was the one that was orchestrating everything. God was the one that was leading Paul through it all. The fact that Paul can be Paul and write us the letters, some of the letters that we have in the Bible today, is because of the fact that he actually grew up learning very deeply about the Jewish religion. He grew up under Gamaliel's teaching. And when he started persecuting the church, he was sinning. But even through that experience, God was going to call him out of that and was going to use that as a part of his testimony to say that he, even though he has all this knowledge and everything, but he is the worst of sinners, he says in another part of the Bible. And so God is orchestrating everything. Jesus appears to him. Jesus tells him that he's appointed for this type of work. He sends Ananias. He goes to Ananias and meets Ananias. And Jesus already appears to Ananias and tells him that he's going to meet with Paul. And they have this appointment. Ananias heals him and sets him on the right path. And then Jesus appears to Paul as he's in Jerusalem and then sends him off to the next place. God is working through all of this. God is orchestrating everything that's going on in Paul's life. And so we see that happening in Paul's life. But do we see that happening in your life? The thing that I don't want to say is make sure that you do the right things so that God can be involved in your life. That's not what I'm going to say. What I am going to say is that if you are a Christian, and even if you're not a Christian, but you're sitting here today, I want to let you know that God is already working in your life and has been orchestrating things in your life from the very day that you were born. God has been working in your life. And so I want us to think about that a little bit. As we think about Paul's story, and as we think about our own stories now, I want to just mention that Paul was focused on his encounter with Jesus. He didn't start off by telling about the gospel per se, like what we normally share what the gospel is. But he starts off by sharing his story, and then he talks about how he encounters Jesus. And because of how each of us have encountered Jesus, all of our stories will be different. All of our stories are going to be unique to each of our own stories. And when we think about our own stories, as we come to recognize how God is actually working in our lives, what that'll produce is an automatic response of praise to God. But as long as we don't see how God is working in our lives, what will happen is we'll complain, we'll stress, we'll worry about our life, about our direction, about all the things that are going on in our lives. And so it's an important thing for us to actually think through, how has God been working in my life? And what was my encounter with Jesus like? And how do I continue to have encounters with Jesus? And so let's try to do that right now together. So let's start off. Your background. I'm just going to ask a couple of these questions, and I want you to think through it, okay? Who are you? How has God shaped you? What qualities do you possess because of your history? What connections can be made with other people because of what you experienced in your life, in your past, as a child, as a teenager, when you went through your 20s, and on and on? What kind of connections can you make with other people? What qualities do you have? And what experiences have you had? What education or hobbies do you have? Think about who you are. I want you to choose one thing and just use one word and tell your neighbor what that one thing is. Go ahead right now. This should take less than 30 seconds, so please go ahead. Share with your neighbor. Okay, that should be enough time. All right, next. Okay, so we're going to do this again and again, so I want you to do it as quickly as possible, okay? Next, your previous life. I want you to think about it now and have something ready to share with your neighbor, okay? How did you live your life apart from God? Okay, some of us, we've been Christian all our lives, so we don't really remember a time where our lives were apart from God. But for you Christians, let me say this. How did you live your life just thinking about your own story and not about God's story? Just thinking about how you need to go out and play. Just thinking about how you need to focus on your studies. Just thinking about how you wanted to just escape. Just thinking about how you wanted to do really well with your career. Okay? How did you live your life just thinking about your own story and not about God's story? What did you pursue? Why did you pursue it? Okay, the question I want you to think about right now that you're going to share is, what did you pursue? Okay, it could be video games, it could be just graduation, it could be a good career, your studies, a girl, a guy. What did you pursue at some point in your life? Or even now, what is it that you're pursuing now that maybe has nothing to do with God's story in your own mind? Okay, think about it for a moment. Share with your neighbor. If you're not sharing with anyone, find someone around you to share with. Okay. That should be enough time. All right, so I know with this kind of thing, you're thinking, Pastor Peter, you're not giving us enough time. Okay, some of you are really good. Maybe some of you, like engineers, you guys are really good at just like giving one word, right? Others of us, maybe we kind of have more of a liberal arts type of background. We need to explain our background and all the different things that are going on here and there. Okay, I want you to do your best for our purposes today. Do your best to just choose one word or one sentence and just say it as quickly as possible when you're sharing with your neighbor. Okay? All right. What did you pursue? And why did you pursue that? Now, this is where it's going to be a little bit more difficult, and it might be a little bit harder to find an answer, but I want you to try to choose one of these words as to why you pursued that, okay? Is it that you wanted more control over your life? Is it that you wanted to feel more comfort from that particular person? Is it that you wanted to be more appreciated and more recognized by the people that are at work, or maybe your parents, or maybe your spouse? Is it that you wanted to feel like you belong somewhere and you wanted to have that connection with people? Is it that you wanted more security and so you wanted to make sure you have enough in your bank account for that security? Is it that you wanted more success and so you pursued that? Or is it you wanted more rest and so you're just trying to get your kids to bed on time so that you can finally get your own rest time? Is it you're pursuing respect or accomplishments? What is it? Or why is it that you're pursuing what you are pursuing? I want you to think carefully. And I want you to see if any of these fit. And if you feel like none of these fit, then force yourself to choose one and see if it somehow makes sense in your story. Go ahead and share it with your neighbor. All right, that should be enough time. Without explaining all the like reasons why, just the one word. All right. Let's continue on. Your encounter with Jesus. This might be a part of the sermon today where you might not have had this experience yet. If you are not a believer, maybe you haven't had this experience yet. If you are a believer, but you are struggling with some part of your life, and you haven't given it over to Jesus yet, maybe this part, you're not quite there yet with this particular part of your life. Maybe there's other parts of your life where you did encounter Jesus, okay? But let's try. Let's try here. What happened when you started to change your perspective? What were the circumstances around that particular issue, the thing that you're pursuing, where maybe you had a thought maybe I need to think about this from God's perspective? Okay, what were the circumstances around that where you started to change your perspective? How did Jesus come into the picture? Was it through a sermon, your own devotion time? Was it through a Bible reading? or through prayer? Was it with a conversation with a Christian friend? Or maybe reading through a Christian book? What was it that led you to have that encounter with Jesus so that your perspective started changing about this particular issue? This will be a harder thing to share, so I'm not going to ask you guys to share with your neighbor. Let's go on. Conversion and baptism. How did you finally make the step to follow Jesus and his way? What do I mean by this? What I mean is, when you started to change your perspective, there was probably something in your mind where you're like, oh, I know the right thing to do, or oh, I know I should believe this, but then it's so hard, and you're struggling there. But then Jesus keeps coming, and he says, just trust me. Just know that I'm in control here. You don't have to be in control. Just know that I'm working through you, so there will be success in the way that I want success in your life, not the way that you want success. Don't worry. I am comforting you. You're seeking comfort in those other things. I will comfort you. Don't worry. You know what? All the ways that you're seeking appreciation from other people and they're not recognizing it, but I see everything that you're doing. I see your heart and I see how much effort you're putting in that. And as we find that kind of encouragement, as we encounter Jesus and we have that encouragement, how did you finally make that step to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to let go. And I'm going to follow you now. I want to do it your way. How did that happen? What steps did you actually take at that point to start walking in faith with Jesus? What were the next things that happened in your life as you decided that you wanted to follow Jesus in that particular area of your life or in another particular area of your life? Or if you've decided for the very first time, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. What were the things that happened after? And I put a little note there. This can be about becoming a Christian. So when you finally decided to become a Christian, or it can be about how you're following Jesus as a Christian and as you're giving over different parts of your life to Jesus and you're learning what it means to give different parts of your life to Jesus. Last one, your commission. Now, what is it that you learned through that process as you encountered Jesus with that particular issue? What was the lesson that you learned? And what is it that you're able to share with others about Jesus and his leading in your life? Okay, you see, when we go through these experiences in our lives, what we're saying is that Jesus is alive. And he's actually working in my life. And my life is changing. Even though sometimes I feel like it's slow, or sometimes I feel like I'm not growing at all, but I trust that Jesus is actually living and working in my life. And because of this, I have had an experience of which I can be a witness of. And I can go and share with other people that Jesus is alive and working in my life. My story may not be as grand as Paul's story, but God is working in you. You see, the thing that we need to recognize is this very idea. That as we think about these moments in our lives, as we think back on the history of our lives, we need to recognize that God is actually orchestrating things in our lives. God is actually working in our lives. And when we forget about God, when we forget that God is actually working, that's when we lose sight of everything that's going on in our lives. That's when we lose sight of God. That's when we lose sight of peace. That's when we lose sight of joy. That's when we start to worry about our lives. That's when we begin to become fearful about the things that are going on in our lives, or the possibility of things happening. We begin to worry about the future. We need to recognize that God is actually working in our lives, that he's orchestrating things in our lives. As we think about what Jesus said to Paul at that time, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why do you keep turning away to other things and trying to find fulfillment in other things than in me? Why do you continue to pursue other things in this life when I have already given you a purpose? Brothers and sisters that are attending our FPC service today, unbelievers, if you are an unbeliever here and you're attending here, I'm talking to every single one of you here today. Listen to God's word for us today. Why are you persecuting Jesus? As we think about this, some of us may feel a need to give all kinds of reasons why you're not. Give all kinds of reasons and excuses. Some of us might feel very, very terrible right now. Some of us, you might still be trying to figure out, what does this all mean for me? Some of us might feel a little bit just nothing. I don't know how to think about this right now. But I don't want to end the sermon here. I want you to know that not only is God orchestrating your life, but God has been orchestrating all of history from the very beginning. When He created the world, He created this world so that He can have a relationship with His people. And God was working from the very beginning these amazing wonders to create this world. And He grew the nation of Israel. And He created His people and He tried to show the people, look, I have a relationship with you, but the people kept falling away. And so ultimately Jesus Christ came, and Jesus Christ was the ultimate answer. All of the Old Testament is showing us how we fall away from God. But Jesus Christ comes and He's the ultimate answer for all of life's problems. He's the ultimate answer for the ultimate problem that we keep turning away from God. Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life for us, and then He died on the cross for us. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead and He ascended into heaven and He told the people, "Be my witnesses." And the church started growing, and it grew. And people told other people, and people told other people. And then people told someone that you knew so that they can tell you, so that you are part of this grand, big story that God is working out from the beginning of time. And it will continue on all the way to the end of time, where Jesus Christ will restore everything in this world to be perfect the way that God desires, and to punish evil, and to make sure that everything is made right, and so that we who are believers in Jesus Christ can finally be with Him in a perfect relationship with no more tears or pain or sorrow or death. You see, what I'm trying to say here is that God is orchestrating all of history, and God is orchestrating your life, and your story is a part of God's big story. You see, your lives are not just about you and your experience. Your life is going on right now so that God can include you in what He's doing in the big picture. This is such an amazing thing. To see that your life is much bigger than just this little thing that you think your life is all about. Your life is much bigger because God is giving you a purpose. God is working in you, and God is going to work through you. God is doing this work, and this is possible because of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives, how He has forgiven us of our sins, and how He has reconciled our relationship with God. And so, as I said earlier, when you come to recognize that Jesus is actually working in your life, and not only is He working in your life and orchestrating everything out Even though right now you feel like you're in a terrible place, even though right now you feel like you're not a very good Christian, even though you feel like right now you're completely lost, I'm telling you today, God is still working in your life now. And when we recognize that, the automatic response will be praise to God. So let's talk about this last point then. Because we want to praise God for His orchestration in our stories. How do we praise God? Number one, as I've said, we want to recognize that God has orchestrated it all. And the fact that you are able to understand this and see glimpses of that, and you're kind of, maybe some of us were like, was that Jesus? I don't know. No, Jesus is working everything out. Everything that's been going on in your life, Jesus is working everything out. And the fact that you're able to have a glimpse of that, a small understanding that God is actually working in your life, I'll say, even that is God orchestrating that into your heart, into your mind. So acknowledge it. Recognize it. Say, yes, God, you are working in my life. Even when I feel like I'm in the storm right now, I trust you're still working in my life. Number two, praise God and give thanks to God for His mighty work. And the way that I say this, that I'll talk about this particular idea, is to say that when we praise God, we can praise God through our prayers. We can praise God by talking to other people, and you mentioned it was because of God, and you tell people, praise God. I give thanks to God for what He's doing. But one of the best ways that we can praise God is by singing. And it's talked about this all throughout Scripture, about how singing is such a part of a Christian's life that we want to sing to God about what He's done, to proclaim His mighty works as we sing. And we also sing about our pains and our sorrows and all these things because we're looking to God through our songs. And there are some powerful songs that have been written in the past where they are also proclaiming God's mighty works and understanding that God is doing an orchestration. He's orchestrating everything in their lives, as some of you guys may recognize. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Sing that song. Or another song that I know, it says, I'll praise you in the storm. Even though I feel like everything's going wrong in my life, but I'm going to praise you in the storm. I will lift my hands because you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. Or lastly, sing this song. O my soul, put your hope in God. My help, my rock, I will praise Him. Sing, oh sing, through the raging storm. You're still my God, my salvation. Number three, continue to share with others about how God has worked in your life. And lastly, attend membership class. In membership class, we talk about what is this gospel that we're talking about? How did God work all throughout history? And we're also going to talk about how do we share our stories? What's a very good tool of how we can share our stories with other people? And so I really encourage you. Today we're going to have our membership class. Please join our membership class. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful truth. Thank you, dear Lord, for Paul's story and how he shared about his encounter with you, Jesus, to the crowds that day. And I pray that in the same way, may we be able to also recognize that you're working in our lives, and that no matter what we may be facing today, that you are still there and you're working things out. I pray, dear Lord, that you would work in our hearts, that we ourselves would recognize that, and that would result in our hearts, our lives, with praises to you. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.